evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, last night we were taking calls, had some pretty good calls, and we were talking mainly about shooting. And I remember somebody was talking about 7mm, or I forget how the subject came up, but I said that I believed 7mm was .285 caliber. It's really .284. At least I think I said .285. I may have said .284, but I wanted to make sure that you all know the correct caliber. People are asking, not just last night, but in previous broadcasts, about laminated stocks. And I just got my issue of Guns and Ammo today. It's a magazine. Guns and Ammo has an article in this month's issue on... the article is called A Superior Stock Option, and it's about the development of the wood laminate rifle stock. So if you're considering or wondering which stock to get for your rifle, or which rifle to purchase, with the stock that you want already on it, you might want to get the June issue of Guns and Ammo and read that article. And there's another good article in here called A Matter of Inches. It's about the barrel length dilemma. What is the optimum compromise between ballistic efficiency and the handiness of your hunting rifle? In other words, what that translates to is if you got to carry a rifle around, you of course want it to be as light as possible. The longer the barrel, the heavier the rifle. The longer the barrel, also the flatter the trajectory, the more velocity you get, the longer the range of your accuracy, and all of those things improve. With a shorter barrel, you can move around in brush easier. You can carry it a lot longer because it's not as heavy. And they bring out some points that I hadn't considered before. There are some rifles now with these carbon alloy barrels. And I'm not really sure what that means because I've never actually seen one. Are pretty light. So you can actually have a 26-inch barrel and carry it around like, you would a rifle with a 22-inch barrel or a 20-inch barrel, because that's what it feels like weight-wise. If you're going to shoot, you need to get into shooting. Even if you just shoot once in a while, you need to know what you're doing. So there's two magazines that I recommend that you get. I'm not selling these. The magazine publisher doesn't pay me anything, and this is for your own benefit. One is Guns and Ammo, and the other one now I just gone. I'll think of it. It's the good one though. It's the other one. Oh, Shooting Times. I'm sorry. Shooting Times and Guns and Ammo. To me, those are the ones that have the most worthwhile articles and writers. There's a lot of other gun and ammo and handgun magazines out there. If you find one you like, it doesn't hurt to get it. But remember something, folks. Just because somebody puts expert after his name and writes an article in one of these magazines doesn't mean that it's right. I've read some articles in some of these shooting magazines that I completely, 100%, totally, absolutely disagree with. And, in fact, I thought the guy that wrote it was nuts. and he would probably think that I'm nuts, maybe. Because, some of this shooting stuff is opinion. Some of it is hard, cold science and facts, and you can't get around it. So just remember those things. If you get some of these magazines and you start reading them, you want to make sure that you're not falling for a bunch of baloney. Just because somebody writes an article and is published in a magazine doesn't mean that everything he says is true, and it doesn't mean that you should be reading all of these things thinking they're all lying to you either. Most of the people who write for these magazines are pretty good shooters. They're pretty knowledgeable about their sport or their profession. With some of them, it's a profession. and some of them are really good and really factual. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I got that guns and ammo issue, and it's quite interesting. Me personally, I've been into guns for a long time. Had a gun shop, done gunsmithing. I would never own a big bore rifle or any hunting rifle without backup iron sights. Scopes are great, but scopes can break, and I've seen it happen. Or they get water in them, or the crosshairs come loose, or something.
Yeah, all those things can happen, and you can keep your iron sights on the rifle, or you can buy a rifle that doesn't have them and have them installed.
Oh yeah, well that's what I did for people because they wanted iron sights for close-up shots or.
Well, that's the only thing they're good for. You're not going to make an iron sight shot at 700 yards. I don't care who you are. If you know anybody that tells me that they are and they're going to hit their target, they're going to have to show me. In fact, I don't believe that they're going to hit their target anywhere beyond probably 300 yards, and 300 yards is pushing it with iron sights.
But to have iron sights is a great backup. I have on my deer rifles. Well, I have a Remington 742-3006.
Yeah, but you're talking for hunting applications.
Has a see-through mount, a 3-9 power, iron sights on it, and a scope.
Yeah, what we're talking about is for self-defense, or if we get in a war, if our country's attacked, if our community's attacked, all of those kinds of things. And I got to tell you right now, if you're using a bolt-action rifle for that kind of engagement within 300 yards, you've got the wrong rifle. You need an assault rifle for that.
Yeah. Well,
bolt action is for long-range shooting.
I got several assault rifles. I didn't worry about that. You know, it works great. I got a couple of Mac-90s.
Well, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about in relationship to iron sights.
Yeah.
You're not going to use iron sights beyond 300 yards unless you absolutely were forced to.
Yeah.
And then you can't expect very good results with that.
Yeah.
If your scope doesn't work beyond 300 yards, your long-range rifle is pretty much out of action.
Well, you've seen the movie Saving Private Ryan as a German sniper and up in this tower. And he's got a Mauser 98 scope on it.
Yeah, but please don't quote movies. That's Hollywood fantasy. Please.
Well,
don't.
The Germans did have a good group of snipers that were pretty good. The Enemy at the Gates is another movie coming up. And I built two rifles on a Mauser 98 action, one in 30-06 and one in 8mm, with 3-9 variables and see-through mounts on them. And those things reach out way out there.
Well, they should. I mean, the Mauser action is the strongest, in my estimation, action that's ever been built. Now, Remington has given a little competition now with this round action that they've come out with recently that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
But that large ring Mauser action, well, that's what I have on my 375 H&H.
I prefer the Mauser large ring action. I love it. I've worked on them. I've re-barreled them. I've drilled and tapped them. I've done all kind of work on them. And original Mausers from World War II with German proof marks on them and matching numbers, I wouldn't dare touch one because they're collectible. You know, I don't mess with them. But another thing that
What has collectible got to do with anything? If you need a good rifle to fight a war, and all that's laying around is collector's rifles, I got to tell you, I'm going to use it.
Oh, I push it into action just the way it is. You know, in fact, I'm just used to handling a Mauser 98 or an Enfield No. 1 Mark III or a Springfield 0383. You know, they come to me naturally. You know, handle them right now, tear them apart, put them back together again. They're great. But another thing they come out with is double action automatics pistols, 45, 9mm, 40 SW, and they have a double action system on it with a cock and lock on it. Now, what is the purpose of the cock and lock on a double action automatic? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I have no idea unless to get the first shot off faster without the trigger pull.
Well, I got a TZ-75, which has the best bit of Browning and the P-38 and everything else on it, and it's double action first shot. So you squeeze it off and you practice with it. If you want to go decock it, you hit the lever and it decocks it. Works great. I cannot see having a cock and lock safety on it.
Well, the only thing that I can, you know, the only reason it would be that way is if you had to draw quick and you wanted to get your first shot off without going through the double action thing.
Well, I
started cocked. All you got to do is, you know.
Double action works pretty quick, just like a revolver.
On most double action revolvers, it doesn't work pretty quick. And most double action revolvers, the trigger pull is crap. And I wouldn't have them in a million years. There are some new double action revolvers coming out now where they're finally getting around to solving that problem.
Yeah. Well, I know. Like, I have a double action Ruger, and it's pretty smooth. And I got a double action Rossi. I worked on that, and it's 38, and it works great. It's just quick. You know, and the Smith & Wesson has some great double action revolvers. They are fast. You know, they are just really sweet. And, they're not as involved as the Colt to deal with. Colt's a pretty good gun, though, too. I can't knock that. So.
One of the best ever made.
Yeah, I mean...
But anything with a double action, unless you're talking about some of these, and these are just brand new, just beginning to come out.
Yeah.
Double action is not cool. Double action is not fast. Double action sometimes will endanger your life. Single action is, you know, I mean, that's right there. And if you have a gunsmith take the play out of it,
yeah.
and you've got down to about a 2.5-3 pound trigger pull, your life is in pretty good hands, I'd say.
I've got several double action automatic pistols, but I tend to shoot them single action. Pull the hammer back.
You make my point.
Yeah. I mean, double action is something I would use close range only in an emergency.
If my life's in danger, I'm not going to use double action, period. I'm going to use single action, and that's what I wear, is a single action 45 automatic compact comp.
That's what I got, a 1911 Colt, fully tricked out, single action, and carry around cocked and locked with a holster with a strap over the...
Yeah, somebody saw me in the Safeway one day, and they said, is that thing cocked and locked? And I said, yeah. Why do you have it cocked and locked? I said, what's the purpose of wearing a pistol? Said, to defend yourself. I said, how can I defend myself if I've got to draw it, and then I've got to rack the slide back, and somebody's threatening me with a weapon? I mean, if they're smart, they've already killed me.
You need it 2 seconds flat or quicker.
You need it as quick as you can possibly get it, if and when you ever need it, or you don't need it at all.
Yeah, exactly. And shotgun is a good thing to have, like a pump gun.
Uh-huh.
You know, like my favorite's Mossberg 500, you know, with double buck in it. And I just killed a copperhead outside my place yesterday with it and blew its head right off. Tore it to pieces. One shot. Works great. And killed coyotes and other stuff around me. And
varmints.
Yeah, right out the kitchen window. Blam.
Where do you live?
North Carolina.
And you can still shoot right out the kitchen window on the East Coast?
Well, I live on 16 and a half acres.
Well, I'd say you got a little ways to shoot. But
and plenty of woods around me.
Good for you.
So, I live back in the country.
Well, that's great. I didn't think there was any place left on the East Coast.
I'm
joking. I know that there's still some wilderness on the East Coast. But
I've got a 100-yard rifle range in my backyard.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
That's real nice.
Oh, yeah. It's great. I just have a good time with it. And we got Black Panthers running around here, too, every once in a while.
I thought that the FBI busted them up years ago.
No, we got Black Panthers with yellow eyes that run around here and screech in the night.
How about SDS? You got any of them running around?
No, I ain't seen none of them since I was in college. You know, they're all long gone, I hope.
Well, we got Panthers up here. Last time I was out catting around in the woods, I heard a panther screeching not too far off.
I've seen mountain lions in North Carolina.
Well, that's what a panther is.
Yeah.
In the United States, a panther is a mountain lion. They're also called puma. Puma, mountain lion, panther, all the same thing.
Well, they have these smaller black panthers. They're a little smaller than the mountain lion or, you know, regular puma.
Black panthers in the United States?
In
the wild?
And they got yellow eyes.
Well, wait a minute. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
In my life. We have black panthers running around loose in the United States?
Yeah.
I never heard of that in my whole life.
Yeah.
And
They're smaller. They're smaller than a mountain lion. And,
Well, where did those come from? That's not native to North America.
Yeah, they are. They've had them up and down the East Coast for centuries.
You're kidding.
No.
Now, wait a minute. I've hunted all my boyhood and up until the time I went to Vietnam, I've read hunting magazines and talked to hunters all my life, and I've never, ever heard anybody ever say they've ever seen a black panther in this country. Now, I'm not saying that it's not true. I find this incredible.
I never heard about it either until I moved here, and then I seen them. And they screech like a woman in the middle of the night.
Well, panthers do that.
Yeah. And they're smaller than a, you know, western mountain lion. I've seen them when I lived in California. And these things are smaller. I mean, they're a little smaller. They're it's a total different breed. You know, same family of animals, but different family.
Well, let's see if we can get somebody else in here. Maybe somebody else has heard of this, too. I haven't heard of it.
Oh, I've seen them a few times.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
520-333-4578. Is that true, folks? Are there really black panthers in the United States? I never heard of it in my whole life. It doesn't mean they're, you know, doesn't mean I had to hear about it. I've just never have heard of it. I find it a little... just a little hard to believe, in lieu of the fact that I hunted so much a part of my life and still read all the hunting and shooting magazines and know a lot of hunters all over the United States. Nobody's ever mentioned. Nobody in any hunting magazine or shooting magazine has ever written anything that I've ever seen about a black panther in the United States. Is this something that's, is this a closely guarded secret like the skiing in Arizona? We have some of the best skiing in the United States in Arizona. And not too many people know about it. So don't tell anybody. 520-333-4578 is the number. So phones are open if you want to call and talk about whatever it is that you want to call and talk about. Some of you might find in Shooting Times, there's a guy who writes articles about the older pistols and rifles, and I'm not going to mention his name. If you read Shooting Times, you know who it is. But I actually lost my wallet in an airport one time, and he found my wallet and returned it to me. And had about $3,000 in it. So I gave him a handsome reward, and he refused it. So I bought him a drink, and we had a good little talk at the bar for until our flights left. It was Mike Venturino is who it was. Some of you may recognize his name. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill? Yes, this is Chuck from upstate New York.
Hi, Chuck.
Yeah, I heard the guy call in about the Black Panther. Yes, yeah, they're real.
Really?
I've been in Florida for years. I heard about them way back in the 1970s. I read about them.
That's incredible.
I've never seen one, but I've heard about them.
Wow, that's just incredible, because I've read a lot about the Everglades and the Okefenokee Swamp. I even went hunting once in the Okefenokee Swamp. Never heard of it before.
Well, I heard about them a lot down in Florida. I didn't know they were in North Carolina. This is news to me tonight. But I'll tell you something. I was in Montana. I was in the Air Force once. Yeah, we were at I was at an AC&W squadron or station in Lewistown.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girlfriend out there. We were just parked talking in the mountains there, the Judith Mountains. And something thumped on the back of my 51 Mercury. And then I heard screaming. And I was on a slope, and I just put the thing in neutral. The screaming was bone-chilling. And I start rolling down the slope, and started the engine, took off on that dirt road to the highway. I must have drove about, because it was 7 miles on the highway to the base of the where the base was, before we had a radar base, the AC&W, you know. And when I got to the highway, stopped the car at the stop sign, and I heard the screaming again. I hit the gas, hit Florida, got onto that highway. I was doing 100 miles an hour back to Lewistown.
Oh, he's probably...
bone-curdling chill, scream. It sounded like a woman, just like you were talking about tonight, like a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they're out there too, but I didn't see it, you know.
It'll send chills up your spine. Well, it sounds like a mountain lion, is what it sounds like, but
it was loud. I looked at my car when I got back to town. We didn't know what to think. Her and me, she lived in Montana, you know. I was just stationed there from New York. And I'm looking at the trunk, and all I saw was lines on the dust, because it's a dusty road, you know.
Uh-huh.
Lines on the dust all over the trunk.
Well,
I didn't see no paw prints or nothing, just lines.
Well, it was,
and even on a bumper.
Probably from his claws, trying to hold on.
Well, yeah, I can't figure it out. I figured I'd see some kind of a claw print or something, but I never, forget as long as I live, that sound just turned my blood into ice.
Yeah, once you hear it, you never forget. I was sitting around a campfire at a ranch one night a few years ago, and we were all sitting there, you know, and the guy was playing, strumming a guitar, and we were all singing songs and roasting marshmallows and telling lies and ghost stories and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden we heard this real blood-curdling scream, and just sent chills up my spine. And I reached down and picked up a light that I had, you know, for walking through the dark. And shined it in the direction, and there was a big mountain lion, not more than 150 feet from the campfire, just watching us.
So maybe that's what was bothering me, but I couldn't figure out the dust on it because I looked at car over.
Yeah, don't get involved in that. You probably never will. So don't waste time on the dust. It's,
yeah,
you know.
But you know something else I ran into upstate New York. This was back in '85. I saw some big footprints that started from a tree. Okay. And maybe you can figure this out. I couldn't see any footprints coming in the snow, okay? No footprints at all coming into that tree.
That's easy.
I used to hunt years ago, you know?
That's easy to explain.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. I looked at the footprints, and I followed them to a house. I was remodeling two houses, rebuilding them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the backyard where there was a barbed wire fence, two-strand barbed wire fence. The footprints went over the barbed wire fence, and then the footprints, they were big footprints, they were big claws. And then they were about 10 feet apart, and they ran towards towards this tree line, and then they went right back into the woods, you know, down to this field.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, do you think that could have been a bear or what?
Whatever it was up in the tree while the snow was falling, and after the snow...
No, this snow was there for days. This was not new snow. This was old snow.
Well, wait a minute. You asked me for an explanation. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
There's only one explanation if the tracks started at the tree and there were no other tracks.
I know that. That's what's been boggling my mind.
Folks, you know, if you call and you ask me a question and you won't let me respond, then you can't be on my broadcast. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question, not pertaining to hunting and all that.
There's no set topic.
Okay. Is there two copies of Morals and Dogma?
No.
There's only one.
Yeah.
Because I read other literature and you know, try to find it in this book, in Morals and Dogma.
Try to find what?
Well, I don't know. It's been a while back.
If you don't know what you were trying to find, how would you know if you found it or not?
Well, this has been a while back.
Well, even so, I mean, you should have known what you were looking for.
Well, I don't remember because I've read so much for the last two or three years. I don't remember, but the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, like some of the stuff that, you know, I've looked up, but I couldn't find it on such and such page or something like that.
Well, you know, different printings of different books. The stuff is going to be on different pages. Depends on how big the pages are, how big the type is. It's not always on the same page.
Okay.
For instance, if I pick up a book that was printed in 1898, and I read from it, and I tell you it's on page 102, and then you go and you find one that was printed in 1926, I guarantee you it ain't going to be on page 102.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if there was two copies. The one that I have, it says it entered according to the Act of Congress in the year 1871. Then on down here it says entered according to the Act of Congress in the year 1906.
Okay, that means it was printed after 1906.
Okay. So is there some difference in the two books?
No. Well, they're only
in page numbers.
Well, it could be page numbers. It could be identical. I don't know.
Okay.
But the information, if it's the same book written by the same author... unless somebody intentionally changed the text, it's going to be exactly the same book, same text.
All right. Which one do you have?
Hold on. I got a whole bunch of them. I got a real old one. I got a first edition copy in my library in storage, but I've got one right out here. Let me play some music, and I'll be right back. Hang on.
Okay.
Let me see here. Let me find some music. Yeah, that'll do it.
I can turn the volume up on this phone.
Okay, I'm back, and I've got the book right here. The book is inscribed. It's inscribed 1945, so it's written before 1945, because the owner inscribed the front. This is a reprint, June 1945.
Okay.
And this one's exactly like my first edition copy. I've checked the text. It's all here.
Huh. Oh, you want to know where I'm calling from? I'm in South Georgia, close to Valdosta, Georgia.
Have you got Black Panthers running around your house here?
I can't remember ever seeing one, but I've heard people talk about them, and I've never seen one personally. But
well, what a well-kept secret.
I don't know. I've lived here all my life, and
you think it might be one of those urban legends?
It could be.
I have no idea. I'm just, I'm not trying to insult anybody or say anybody's not telling the truth. I don't know.
I know that is. I've never seen it, so I can't say, but I've heard panthers and stuff like that in the night, and
there's definitely panthers in the United States. I just never heard of a black panther.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that there's not any. I never heard of it.
I've never seen one, so I couldn't tell you. But so yours is in 1946, is that right?
No, this is a reprint from June 1945.
Okay.
The one that I have in storage is published somewhere right during or right after the Civil War.
All right. Well, now, do you have a picture of Albert Pike in that one?
I think so. I think they all do. Yeah. Yeah, he's sitting there staring at a globe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got his little...
Left hand is on the armrest, and his right hand is across his thigh.
Right.
And he's got that long, straggly white hair, yeah.
Well, I think this is a pretty old book. I just, like I say, the only last date it shows is entered according to the Act of Congress in the year 1906. But I bought this book at a flea market for, I think, $5, $2. And it's a little bit weird reading, but it's interesting anyway.
Well, it's written in an esoteric language. It's not meant for you to understand it if you're not a member of the lodge,
right,
and if you're not a high-degreed member of the lodge. This book is used to be passed out to every new member of the Masonic Lodge, and they knew that most of them would never understand it. It's really meant to be understood by the 30th degree and above only. They're the only ones who have had the education to understand it.
Okay. Well, I've been listening to your show, since about 92?
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah. And I did get Veritas for a little while, and it was kind of hard to... Yeah, about three copies. I don't know, probably got lost in the mail or something like that.
Well, could be.
Okay, Mr. Cooper. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Again, I talked to you once before a long time ago.
Yep, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Hope you find what you're looking for in Morals and Dogma. It's all in there. 520-333-4578 is the number. And do that back. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
Now, back on the Panther subject, there's
one name for them you didn't mention, and this was a name used by the old-time crackers in Florida and South Georgia. They called it the Wampus Cat.
No,
never hear that one before.
No, but I'm not from...
'65, '66 or thereabouts.
They called it a what now? Wampus?
A Wampus Cat.
Wampus Cat.
Because, you know, they do have a population of them down there. Of course, it's nearly gone, but they're there.
Well, they used to roam all over
Oh, yes.
the United States. I'm talking about the ones that I know about. They made a big comeback in California since they made shooting them 100% illegal, a total ban on hunting panthers or wild mountain lions.
Well, that's right. In fact, I saw a program on here.
So now there's a wilderness park
outside of San Diego. A woman was hiking out there, jogging.
Yeah.
She got dragged down from the rear, dragged off, and it.
Well, let me tell you one.
Pretty gruesome.
Let me tell you one of the most chilling photographs I've ever seen in my life. This couple was out hiking in the mountains in California, and it's a pretty well-known hiking trail where a lot of people hike. And they stopped, and you know, one of the family members took a picture of the rest of the family. They're all standing there by the side of the trail, and on the left-hand side, which would be the left hand of the photographer's left side. Of the group that's taken the picture, there's a small child. The child was probably 3 years old. And the child has hold of his mommy's hand, and he's standing right behind the child in the tall grass. There's a mountain lion right there within just a few feet of that child, and his eyes are right on the child. Now, nothing happened, and I don't know what kept the mountain lion from attacking, but they didn't even know that mountain lion was there until the pictures came back, and they were looking at the pictures, and they looked at the pictures for several weeks before somebody said, "Hey, what's that?"
Well, I tell you, there's some other things in this program. You know, they're going into San Diego at night, and people have had their pets killed, and people say they'll grab a 75 or 80-pound Alsatian and run with it in their mouth, and the dog will never touch the ground.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about panthers still?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you switched subjects on me.
No, we didn't switch subjects, because this happened in the sand. You know, there's like some hills outside of San Diego, and that's where this woman was. It was one of these state parks.
Uh-huh.
And that thing dragged her down and half at her. And they hunted it down and killed it and, you know, confirmed that it was the cat that had been beating on her and so forth. It was gruesome.
Yeah, there's several people in California have been attacked and killed. Lots of dogs and cats have disappeared to mountain lions. Some livestock, animals.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as the wilderness disappears and the people start building more and more communities up the sides of these mountains and wilderness areas, and especially since they have a ban on hunting mountain lions, they used to keep their population in check pretty good. But now they're reproducing like crazy. And you know, when you have an overpopulation of predators, and the predators have no natural enemies, and there's not this great proliferation of wild game like there used to be, they're going to start coming down and looking for easy game. And people are easy game, and their pets are easy game. And,
sure.
I should say prey.
And they're building this tract housing right into what used to be the cat's home. So what do they expect?
That's right. I've heard them say, "Well, the mountain lions are coming down and starting to eat people." That's not true. People are going up to where the mountain lions live.
Precisely so. But just before I let you go, I'll say, consider that. Here's a cat that weighs 120 pounds, maybe a big one will weigh 120 or 130.
Actually, they can get up to around 180 pounds.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, nominally, let's say 120 or 130. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're a thing that size running with a 75 or 80-pound dog in its mouth, and the dog isn't touching the ground. I mean, that tells you about the strength you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. These are wild animals. They are strong. That's what they do is run and hunt and jump and leap and, you know.
Well, I'll turn you loose, but that's just a new North American mountain lion name for your lexicon there.
Okay. Like Crusher. He's just a giant muscle. I'm amazed at that dog.
See you around.
Okay, thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Yeah, they are. We are. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Oh, I can't believe I got on so quick. I just clicked off my radio. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Anne. I'm from North Carolina. I'm a co-worker of Alan Handelman.
Uh-huh.
So I got to talk to you one time. Just a quick thing about the Masons.
Yeah.
I work in radio, and this was about 5 or 10 years ago. I didn't know anything about the Masons. Not a thing. I worked for a small station that had basically fallen on bad times and had been neglected and had a bad reputation for years, and I was running it for some absentee owners in another state. The nearest competitor was a malicious bunch of guys, and the main two of them, it turned out, are Masons. And again, at the time, I knew nothing about them. One time, one of the guys threatened me, saying, you know, we're Masons, we're going to get you. And knowing nothing at the time, I said, well, that's okay, I was a Kiwanette in high school, so I'll just get the Kiwanis and the Lions Club after you. And they really gave me a rough time, but I did win out after all, and it's funny. I knew nothing about Masons, but boy, those two in particular were so incredibly corrupt and nasty.
Yeah, they can be.
Yeah.
They certainly can be.
But out of ignorance, I just basically said I'll stick my social club on you.
Well, it's always good to give a show of strength rather than a show of weakness.
Oh, sure.
When confronted by any enemy or potential enemy.
And let alone, you know, men in their 50s, basically afraid of a girl in her 20s because I was making inroads on, you know, this... my then station's bad reputation at the time.
Uh-huh.
And as mean as they were, they wouldn't have fought me if I was just lying fallow and not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
Even they would have left me alone as corrupt as they were. But out of total ignorance, I figured out the right thing to say to them, and I still had to face many threats and problems, but I faced up to them. And then later on, when I got into this and found out about Masons, it just blows my mind to think, well, what they really are.
Yeah. Yeah, they're something else.
Yeah.
Like Alfred Pike says, they believe in the Luciferian philosophy, and it is a religion. Well, sometimes ignorance can be a great boon.
Yeah, yeah. But at any rate, my late mother was very much into your teachings, and I've got your book, and she turned me on to shortwave, and I'm glad I really have difficulty finding WBCQ, but lately, I guess, because I've sort of made an antenna, I've been able to pick it up, so I've been listening to you pretty regularly.
Yep, that's the key. Got to have an antenna.
Yeah.
Antenna is actually more important than the radio. Okay, tell Alan I said, hey.
I sure will.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is, I don't know if you guys could hear her. Her voice was really low, and I was having trouble. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Goodbye. 520-333-4578 is the number. I don't know who that was calling, but they... absolutely refused to talk, whoever it was. And, you know, that's a no-no. When you call, you got to talk. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Now, this is Rick. I'm in the Finger Lakes of New York.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, I just tuned in your show around near the end of the half hour, and you were talking about some big cats.
Yeah.
And, the past 3 years, we've had some cat sightings, some look like black panthers, and I've told people, and I've other farmers around here have seen them, and the more people see them, the more credible the reports are, but there's been some talk about it in one of the local stations in Rochester.
Yeah.
A little thing about these sightings, been over 100 of them, and I was wondering what the nature of the topic was, if it was...
Open topic.
Oh, I was just wondering, being this cat subject came up, I was wondering if this is a common thing. They're like populating the whole country now, or...
I have no idea. I never heard of a Black Panther in the United States ever before until tonight. But, you know, you're the third or fourth person who's called in and said, yeah, they're on the East Coast. And I can tell you for absolute sure that there's no Black Panthers out here. Not in Arizona. Not where I'm at.
I'd seen it. It came out of a... it was following a fence row, and it ran right in front of my car, and I could get a good gauge on his size from the road that I was on, and from his tail to his nose, he was almost a full, you know, country road lane wide, and they just slinked across the road and back down into the ditch and followed them.
You're kidding. You're talking about bigger than a Bengal tiger.
Oh, this thing was huge, and... we have a lot of deer where I live, and
You're talking the width of a country road is as big or bigger than a Bengal tiger, and those things are like 8 feet long.
I know this sounds far fetched, and I had no idea that such.
You guys are blowing my brain here. Are you putting me on?
No. This is the truth. No, I wouldn't pull your leg.
An 8 foot long Black Panther. You're telling me you saw.
From his body, excluding his tail, had to be at least 5 feet because he could step out on the road and step off. It's just like a good measurement, you know.
Five feet is more like it. You know, that's I can believe
his
that.
His body, yes, his body and his tail was about 2.5 feet long.
Okay.
And I believe one of those creatures got a deer out in my woods last year. And that deer was screaming, and it actually carried it or drug it.
Yeah.
And went out into the woods. And at first, my wife said, it says, sounds like there's a woman being murdered out there in the woods. So I went out there, and it was in thick brush and bramble, and I could hear this thing growling over it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I get any closer, this thing could probably jump 20 feet and be into me, too. So I turned around and left, but... I didn't see it, but I could hear it. I could actually hear it growling over, you know, like standing over his food and to protect it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard that, it piqued my interest about the topic about big cats. So I don't know. I never thought that they'd be existing in this part of the country, but we've got the usual fare, you know, the bobcats and things that you
mm-hmm.
can hear them, and you know the other predators, but. For an animal like that, I didn't know. At first, I thought maybe it was just somebody's pet that got loose that they had in a refuge or something. But there's been quite a few sightings, and there's more than one here. So I thought I'd just add to the conversation.
Well, that's incredible. That's very interesting. You know, regular what we know as regular brown-colored or golden-colored mountain lions have roamed this whole country from north to south and east to west. Like forever, until, you know, they got shot out in most areas of the country. There's still a lot of them here in the mountains of Arizona.
Uh-huh.
I know that there's been a big comeback of those type mountain lions in California, but I was never aware ever that there was Black Panthers in the United States. I find this incredibly interesting.
Well, I had my reservation until I actually seen it myself, and other people around here have that around livestock, and you know a regular one animal from another. You know,
well, that's something like that would be terrifying in the dark. It'd be like Crusher. You have no idea how terrifying that dog is in the dark. When we go to patrol this area out here, I mean, he's just absolutely silent, and you can't see him.
What breed is he?
He's a Rottweiler.
Oh, okay.
Big, big Rottweiler.
He has his own zip code, right?
Yeah, he does.
Well, look, I don't want to hog your time. I appreciate you taking my call, and I hope it was entertaining for you. And if I ever get a picture, I'll be sure to try to get one to you.
Yeah, please do. Now you got me worried by saying it was entertaining. I still don't know if you're pulling my leg or not.
No. I know. I swear. No.
It's okay if you are. It's open topic tonight, and we can have a little fun with this if people want to.
No, I wouldn't waste your time with a yarn like that. No, it's true. It's absolutely true.
Huh.
And if I didn't see it, I wouldn't have believed it myself.
Huh.
And you can hear them sometimes at night. You
can hear them.
Well, yeah, but you don't know if it's a black panther. I mean, panthers,
no.
Panthers, mountain lions, and pumas are all the same thing, and they all make the same noise.
Well, I just hope I don't meet up with one.
Well, I hope you don't either. if you do, make sure you have your cell phone and call us.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Now, you see, I don't know if he's pulling our leg or not. I really don't care. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Did that gentleman that just called, did he say he was from Rochester?
Say he was from New York. That's all
yeah,
I remember.
New York. Okay, we were talking about these Black Panthers. I remember, boy, it must have been about 20 years ago. I lived in northern Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I was about 10 years old, and I remember there was, boy, I can't, probably at least a dozen sightings of people saying they've seen a black panther. And, of course, the DNR and everybody said, oh, they've seen somebody's black lab or something.
Did he have a bloody hook hanging off his left ear?
No. No. See, and that's what everybody, you know, that's why I find it so interesting. You know, a lot of these guys, they were, you know, they were hunters and, you know,
yeah.
They knew what a black lab looks like, you know, and they insisted that it was a black panther.
Hmm. Well, that's very interesting. How come you never see a picture of a bagged black panther in any of these hunting magazines?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never even heard of them.
How come nobody's ever written any stories about going hunting for a black panther?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that would be a great story. I mean, it really would for hunters. I've never seen one. I get all these magazines. I've never seen a story written about...
Yeah, I've never heard of it. But I just find it interesting that I can remember this because, you know, everybody was scared and, you know, and they thought maybe somebody had one as a pet.
I just wonder if this isn't an urgent urban legend.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know these people that, you know, they insisted and they were, you know, they weren't people that wanted attention or anything, you know.
That's okay. When I was a teenager, I knew lots of kids who went out necking on a hill and came back and there was a bloody hook hanging off the door handle, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then when somebody...
And they swear to this day that it's true.
Yeah. But I just thought it was interesting. I remember that. I was about 10 years old, and there was a number of sightings, you know.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know it when I was in Boy Scouts, because I probably wouldn't have gone camping if I thought there was black panthers running around in the woods.
I thought there could have been one in New York, you know.
Yeah.
Could have traveled over here, you know.
Not then, anyway. I'd go out looking for them now.
Yeah, I spent my whole
back when I was a boy, though, after watching those Tarzan movies where they really had black panthers in the Tarzan movies, I wouldn't want to go out in the woods if I thought black panthers were out there.
I've never seen a tracker one.
I was 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah. I've never seen a tracker one, but...
I mean, I remember Betty McGibney had trouble getting me out in the woods so she could kiss me.
But we got timberwolves up here.
But she was really scary.
Yeah. We got timberwolves up here, no. They'll raise the hair on the back of your neck when you're out there camping and hear them howling, you know.
We got wolves here, too.
Yeah. Well, these ones, they go up close to 200 pounds, you know.
I don't know how big these are. They, about 3, 4, or 5 years ago, they started reintroducing wolves.
Yeah.
And lots of people aren't too pleased with that.
No, we're really overpopulated with them up here. It's crazy. They're killing all the deer. They're trying to get them off the endangered species list.
Well, they gotta eat, you know.
Well, yeah, but when there's so many of them, you know, they have to be controlled also.
No, if there's so many of them, how can they call them endangered species?
Well, because they are in...
It's like in California. Yeah. They won't let anybody hunt panthers. Panthers are starting to eat people now, and you got all these weird, wacko environmentalists who live in downtown Los Angeles. They're never going to get eaten by a panther, but you got a lot of people out in the country that might. All these weird wacko people, you know, say, well, we can't hunt the panthers because that's cruel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay if the panthers eat the people.
Yeah,
they're not worried about that.
Cruel, you know?
Yeah, well, I think we ought to feed some environmentalists to the panthers. See if they change their vote.
Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was interesting. It brought back, you know, I remember them sightings. So who knows, you know.
Yeah. But, well, that's interesting. Thanks for calling.
All right.
520-333-4. Tonight, I had no idea that this program was going to go off on Black Panthers. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Talking about predators or out there by where you are. We were visiting one time, and Went downstairs unexpectedly. About 8 javelinas were down there at an apartment complex outside of Tucson.
We got lots of javelinas, that's for sure. And for those of you who don't know what they are, they're wild pigs.
Yeah, these were chewing on the freshly planted flowers.
Yep, they'll do that.
Hey, sir, I'm the one, I sent you an email of a story about that missing girl up there in San Francisco. Did you see that over the weekend, sir?
Missing girl in San Francisco?
The missing congressional intern.
Oh, yeah, it's been all over the news.
I haven't been able to find it in the national newspaper, you know, other than that San Francisco Chronicle story.
Yeah, it's been in the national newspapers. It's all over the internet. It's everywhere. But, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. No, there's no clues. Nobody knows what happened. Can't hang it on anybody. You know, Clinton's not in Washington, D.C., so he didn't do it.
Hey, just one other thing, and I'll cut off. Please explain. I got friends that get real mad at me because I say what you do about researching things to the hilt before you go running off believing everything. Could you just, for a minute, you know, I try to tell them, you know, don't just, with all this flood tide of information, go running off, you know, reacting to everything. Well, Y2K, look, you were right about that.
Well, of course I was.
You know, I didn't expect it, you know, I prepared for it, but, you know, what do you usually, you know.
I was the only one right about it. And people are still running ads saying prepare for Y2K. You know that?
Oh, yes, sir. Or rather, they're trying to sell you the stuff that, you know, they couldn't get rid of.
Yeah.
But I made a lot of folks angry. You know, you weren't the only one. Just good sense tells you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but, well, great to talk with you. Stay in there, good buddy.
Thanks for calling. And yeah, I was the only one on radio. I'll tell you that. I was the only one on radio and television, period. Whoever said Y2K is crap. It's baloney. It's a hoax. Don't fall into it. 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm sure there were lots of other people who didn't fall for it. But none on radio and none on TV. They were too busy selling stuff. Boy, they were making money hand over fist. And they're the same people you listen to now. And believe every word they say. Without ever even checking on any of it. He never did tell me what he wanted me to say. I'll take a wild stab. Listen to everybody. Read everything. Believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. This is the age of deception. If you don't want to be a fool, then you better find out what's true and what's not. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. The facts about the Black Panther. It's so, because when I was a boy up here in northern New York.
What facts?
The Black Panther. I saw a Black Panther.
Nobody's given us any facts. They've given
us. Well, I'm giving you a fact. I saw one myself.
No, you're giving us a first-hand account.
First-hand account.
Okay, there you go.
But I saw one and happened to be looking back in a place around Kelvin, New York, up in the boondoggle there.
Yeah.
And the black cat jumped out and jumped to the center of the road and then leaped over the other side of the road. And then it was that just that quick. But he was a big black shiny cat.
Wow.
And also there was one place.
Well, I sure would love to see a picture of one of these things.
Oh, yeah. But when I was also a boy, where we lived in a place called Porter Hill area around Herman, New York,
uh-huh.
We used to have bobcats. They would walk around the house screaming like babies. They'd stalk around the house all night. They'd sit up on the back of the hill and scream.
Yeah, you don't ever want to tangle with a bobcat or a wildcat, but I got to tell you, those things will do you some major damage.
In fact, the D.C. here in New York has been reintroducing bobcats in this area here, you know, a few years ago. We really need them, you know.
Well, I don't know if they can introduce, you know, I have nothing against reintroducing wildlife that's, you know, has been, you know, decimated or destroyed or killed or run off or whatever happened to it, because I really like the wild. I like the wild.
Right.
I really do, but I'm not a nut. You know, I happen to think human beings are more important than...
The old Lobos, when they had a lot of buffalo at range, they proliferated. But
Yeah, you can't introduce predators without making sure that when they start to flourish, and they will, because predators don't have natural enemies.
No.
And there's got to be a population of something for them to eat. And if there's not a population of something for them to eat, they're going to come into populated areas
right.
to get into trash cans or to find little children or to eat dogs and cats and rabbits and, you know, the pet cow or whatever the heck you got into farms and stuff like that because they have to eat. And you can't blame the animal. They got to eat, and they're going to find food.
Oh, yeah. But the wolf there, you know, years ago when there was a lot of buffalo, they would range. They proliferate. But in low times, they don't breed or they have low numbers. You know, they control within themselves. You know, naturally.
Well, that's what some people say. I don't know if that's really been proven or not. They say that. They say when rabbits are plentiful, wolves have big litters, and when rabbits aren't plentiful, coyotes don't.
Right.
Well, you know.
When I lived in.
But we're out of time, so
okay.
Gotta let you go.
Okay. Bye now.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you. Gosh, would you have believed it, folks, when we started this broadcast tonight that it was going to be all about Black Panthers? Pretty interesting. If you've got a picture of a Black Panther in the United States, and you prove the picture was taken in the United States, I'd like to see it. I'll put it on the website, because I bet there's lots of people like me who don't know they're here.
Why, bless my soul, if it isn't Woody Herman. And now the Princess Juanita talks to...